Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts Lucy Howden
and Benjamin Howden.
It's nice to be back. I'm a bit more settled.
You've been back for a while now. I think it's good to be back. It's got to finish somewhere.
I've been back a week today.
Yeah, but people have known you for three episodes now.
Yeah, because we've gone well back in at the deep end. We've just gone, but only being back a week isn't actually that amount of time. I think I've only just recovered from a jet lag. Don't they say with jet lag, the amount of time difference it takes those amount of days to recover from jet lag?
I don't know if you've made that up.
I've not made that up.
It's true, that is.
Thank you. So I am on day seven.
Who said this, though?
It was a 6-hour time. It's just facts, Ben. It's science.
You can't claim science without stating the study it's from. You can't science that.
It was. I think it is. It's a renowned fact, though. So only yesterday I will have recovered from the jet lag. Thank you very much.
Okay.
But we're back. Better than ever.
We are back indeed. We are back indeed.
We are diving in today with anonymous questions. Now, these are anonymous questions that you guys have asked at home, whether it's by the Not So Fit Couple, whether it's by mine or Ben's. And we don't actually know what the questions are at all. Hence why I have no laptop in front of me. That's a little bit scary. I don't like having nothing prepared. Do you have something prepared?
No, there was a topic that I wanted to speak about as well, though.
Okay. That's anonymous to me, though, still. Okay. You're far away with that first, if you want.
It was only because I was listening to Chris's podcast the other day, and him and Huberman were talking a lot about vaping.
It's bad vaping, isn't it?
Some of the things that are coming out about recently really scare me, especially because I was someone who would be like a social vapor every now and again. I would, especially when I went
to... gives me the ick.
Especially when I went out and I had a drink.
Yeah.
As they always say, drink is the gateway drug to everything. And after I had a drink, I'd sometimes vape. And the one thing I did do, though, all the time was I'd make sure I'd bin it on the way home, you know, so I didn't then spill into another day. Whereas one of my friends would keep the vape and then go on a dog walk the next day and continue to vape.
That's a strange thing to do.
It's because it's there. It's easily accessible when you're trying to cut out bad habits. Forgot what?
You sometimes has forgotten and then you've got home and been like, oh,
no,
but then you've always
haven't forgotten
it.
I've done it consciously because I want to vape the next day.
That's so weird. Yeah.
It is addictive, though. It's one of those addictive things. You've got to be careful with it because it's not like you're smoking a cigarette and it's like, oh, nicotine. Mm. It's, oh, blueberry muffins and, oh, unicorn piss. It's nice flavours, do you know what I mean? It's not as if you're breathing in horrible smoky nicotine. It's, and I think that's what's getting kids and stuff as well hooked on things, which is super dangerous. I'd advise anyone to listen to that Huberman podcast because obviously he's coming from a space of science, speaking about things. And some of the effects of it are way, way worse, especially on the brain than cigarettes or and just nicotine. And some people are having them with CBD and stuff in as well, aren't they? Which, again, I don't know the effects of those, but... It is scary, and it is scary how addictive it can be to anyone, even if people are just involved in, or even if people deem themselves to be healthy, fit individuals who would never usually smoke, because I don't smoke. But it's weird how it can just grab you.
Didn't it start as a mechanism for people who wanted to quit smoking to vape instead because it wasn't as bad for you? Is that how it started? I don't really care for vapes. I think it's just disgusting as smoking.
That's the thing, isn't it? That it was brought in to help people stop smoking. But are we now ending up with more people smoking because of it? Does that make sense?
More people are vaping.
But is it an entry level now to people smoking?
Yeah, getting used to like the habit of having something. Yeah. I've never understood the concept of why would you want to suck in anything that isn't oxygen and air? Why would you want to suck in blueberry flavoured smoke? I'll just eat some blueberries.
But why would people want to drink blue acid-like looking liquid which gets you drunk off your face and can't remember anything?
It's a true fact.
There's immediate pleasures that people take and do in life because it gives them a sense of feeling.
I think it is poor though how unregulated it's been. You've got like 12-year-old kids who have a vape and their parents probably don't even know because every single shop on high streets now have vape shops where kids can just go in and buy vapes, and that just seems... I mean, I saw something on like a meme page the other day, and obviously you can't trust a meme page, but it says something like one vape is equivalent to 20 cigarettes.
I don't know the exact stats.
But that would be wild. That's not health. That's bad.
I think it's the ease of access as well, though.
That's what I just said.
What do you mean?
I just said it's on every single high street, and now every single
not
kid
just
has
that,
access.
Not just that, though. I mean, even the access of where it is. Sorry, I mean in supermarkets, it's right next to checkout points in Sainsbury's and other places. Not even behind the cashier where you'd sometimes see cigarette packets. It's just you could pick one up.
It's bad that. It's really bad.
Have you ever vaped, Carl?
No, I've never been a vapor. I've got some friends who, I've got a friend who works for a vape company, like the big one. He's like a product designer for it. And yeah, no, so part of the problem that people are saying is that having like strawberry candy flavored things is clearly going to make kids go, oh my God, that's amazing. Let's get some of that. But I think they're really good for if you're addicted to smoking and you know, you smoke like 2 packs a day. Then transitioning over to a vape so that you eventually, you know, come off and slowly wean yourself off from percentage of nicotine lower and lower. Eventually, you're not
it's the other effects that vapes have that cigarettes don't have, though, which is now starting to become the issue.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's saying they're worse than cigarettes, though, right?
Yeah.
They are. It's worse than smoking.
Yeah,
that's what Hooman's now been claiming on this recent podcast. But more so not the effect. I don't think he was talking about on lungs. He's more so talking about the brain.
Interesting. Well, that would be an absolute... pisser, wouldn't it, if you were addicted to smoking, tried to dodge lung cancer and then got brain cancer instead?
Yeah. And again, I'm not quoting anything here because I listened to the podcast while I was running the other week, but some of the things that we were speaking about were kind of scary. And when I look at vaping now or see people vaping, I think, oh, that's disgusting. I don't mean I'm looking at people going, you are disgusting. The act of vaping, I feel now, being someone who's done it before, is disgusting.
Well, I always used to say to you, didn't I? I was like, please don't do that. And you're like, no, it's fine. Whereas I've always been like, it's not, I don't get it.
Sometimes you need to learn through experience. You can't just take advice.
You do. That's very true. I think I tried one of yours. I didn't know how it worked. I couldn't suck it. I couldn't do anything with it.
You're such a liar.
What? How?
We've been on nights out and Lucy's been chugging like a chimney.
I have never chugged anything.
Do you want to name the people that we
were
out with when you were doing
disgusting.
It? Can I have another go at that? Yes, you can.
No, I think I tried it twice and I've even said this with
you don't have to act like an angel, you know.
But I am.
You're not.
So I'm
going
to voice the angel.
Okay, when we were in Germany for the expo, you were chugging like a train.
When we went out
in Chester, we went somewhere.
I've never chugged anything.
Yeah.
I might have tasted it, but I've never... I had the same thing when you first gave me a cigar. I tried
but that's
to...
that's different though, because that's a rich taste of nicotine and smoke. Don't act like an angel.
I am
You're
an
not.
Angel.
You are.
I only got detention once in my life, you know.
Why'd you get detention, Liz?
Because I wore the wrong colour bobble.
Rebel.
I wore the wrong colour bobble and got detention.
How did that make you feel?
Like an absolute criminal, Cal. And I've also accidentally walked out of shop with a bottle of water. And that was the worst thing that ever happened to me.
I know you're trying to change the subject and deflect.
We are. We'll go to the anonymous questions.
No, we're not. The thing that they're trying to now introduce now in the UK is that teachers and schools tell parents if the child has been found vaping, because it wasn't a thing before. They didn't have to tell the parents.
That's bizarre.
Why is it? Isn't it?
Surely you tell them anyway.
No.
But a vape isn't healthy.
It doesn't matter though. A school deems as healthy. If they could deem someone doing boxing not healthy because they're getting punched in the face loads of times, what the school deem as healthy versus, I don't know, everybody else is two different things. But now they're saying that parents should be made known if their child is found vaping in school.
It's also illegal to buy under 18.
Yeah.
If I was a parent and my kid was vaping,
that's what parents are saying.
Yeah.
The other thing which is wild as well, though, which is in a very reliable source, Daily Mail. It was in BBC News, and it's this we spoke about before on the podcast about New Zealand with the ban on smoking. They're now going back on it. They're now not banning it.
Probably because people would maybe do it anyway.
To do with tax. So what, making money?
I'd New Zealand like that. I thought they were quite a calm.
They've just had a new prime minister elected recently.
And
it seems as though it's going to raise a lot of tax. But the idea was that the smoking age raises 1 year. Every year, so that some people will just never be able to buy cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Some people will be 70 and the smoking age will be 71.
Eh, that's quite clever. Yeah. One day. That is a good way to get rid of it. No. Interesting. Shall we move on to the anonymous questions
now?
Yeah,
we're going to play some funky music.
Let's go away there.
Oh, God. we had the twinkle last time and it was nice. That is magical.
There we go.
That makes me feel warm.
Your question.
Do I need to pretend like I'm a genie now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hello. No. okay. So
do the first question.
I've just started living. Okay. So the question here is, someone's just started living with their girlfriend. Have you got any tips for living together peacefully as things aren't going too well?
Like a camp Winston Churchill. And
So guys, have you got any tips to share from when you started living together to help this person out?
I missed that question. Sorry.
Okay, I'm not going to say it like a genie. I've just started living with my girlfriend and things aren't going as smoothly as I would like. Have you got any tips for starting to cohabit together?
Why would you think that anything worthwhile would be easy? That'd be my thing straight away. I think what my issue with a lot of modern day relationships is that people split up over real trivial things. Either one, because they haven't got to know that person enough before getting in the relationship in the first place, and then you start to find out. Or two, like I just said then, why would you not think a relationship is going to be hard? You've got two individuals who have very different viewpoints who are trying to come together and live together. If you think it's not going to be hard, then you're completely oblivious to what is expected in a relationship. And this is where expectation meets reality, that you need to change your expectations of what a relationship is going to be like. Obviously, you're going to have great times, but it's not all going to be rainbows and unicorns. It's going to be some difficult times where you've got to also compromise. I think you should expect that, especially when you're living on each other's doorstep.
We started living together like quite soon on as well. And I think the hard thing for us, it was like... We couldn't separate like the business and pleasure side of the relationship when we first got together. So we'd argue about like business things when we were at home, which was really hard. And then we live obviously together now and it's wonderful. And we love living together. We've never had anything like drastic, but I think it's because we communicated so well at the start. Like if something was bugging one of us, we just have an adult conversation. We wouldn't have an argument. Like if one of us wasn't putting something away, you just have a conversation and just say like, okay, this is starting to bug me a little bit because you do this. Can you just maybe have a think about da 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 da? Or...
But it's not always that simple.
It's not always that simple.
This is what I'm talking about. Let's have a bit of realism with it. Like there's going to be arguments between people. It's not all, like I said, rainbows and butterflies.
But they want helpful tips is communicate, have adult conversations, don't just argue. You are going to end up annoying each other. That's okay. Have different spaces in your home, in your house, that is kind of your, a bit more like where you spend more time. Like I spend a lot of time in the lounge and I just chill and I sit and you sit in a different room sometimes and chill and sit and watch the football. And you don't have to do everything together.
Yeah. Having your own space within your space together.
Yeah, completely.
I think another useful thing, and again, this is kind of a bit further down the line because you'll only experience it when you are living together, is sometimes to communicate in a very non-accusing, subtle, well-mannered approach of things that annoy each other.
Mm.
So telling each other, do you know what, Lucy, this is what...
Yeah, we did that, didn't
sometimes
we?
Sometimes you do that potentially annoys me, and like, would you like to tell me the things that I do that annoy you? Because if... you're doing something or if I'm doing something which is of no real malintention, but I continue to do it and it continues to pisses you off, then it's like it's not that person's entire fault unless you made them aware that something that annoys you. And then you can both work on it.
Yeah, and also you can't get angry at the other person when they say... Because my thing was I instantly put stuff away and it was more like subconsciously. I used to just... put things away that was on the side, then I forget where I'd put it. And then Ben would be like, well, that's really annoying. Yeah. And I'm like, I get actually why that is really annoying for you.
Yeah, I know you were trying to help, but...
Yeah, so but I wasn't realising what I was doing. And Ben's the same, like sometimes you just put stuff like, just you just put it on the side. I'm thinking, that annoys me because the cupboard's just below. But he didn't. It was just, you know, subconscious things that happen. And I think that's where you get to
sometimes
tit for tat.
I was just testing you, though, to see if you knew where it went. I'd leave the spoon on the side instead of putting it back in the drawer.
Or the empty Pepsi can above the bin. Yeah. Like the bin.
It's a challenge.
The bin is there.
It's a bit of a challenge.
But I remember, I remember a time maybe a few years back in Ash Street, where Ben was eating some food and Lucy was like disinfecting the table.
Yeah.
And some of the disinfectant went in Ben's food. And that was a pretty.
Yeah, that was a moment.
Yeah, this is a thing where you need to work on.
That was pivotal.
Personal space as well.
Yeah, having your own space. And obviously everyone lives in different environments and different spaces, and how much personal space you can have is dependent on where you live.
This is where COVID's fucked a lot of people up.
I think, yeah.
Fucked a lot of people up.
But also people were like forced to live together in COVID.
That's what I mean.
As well, yeah. Which was hard. But yeah, it's definitely just respecting each other's boundaries as well.
I think it, for me, massive though, comes down to the first point that I made is if you want to build a better body, or you want to get that better job, or you want to save up for a house, and anything that is usually worthwhile is going to take some level of sacrifice, accountability, sustainability, compromise. Same with a relationship. If you want to have a good, loving, positive, worthwhile relationship, it's going to take a bit of work. I don't think you can just go, we're going to move in, it's going to be like happy families,
unicorns and fairies. Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of learning about each other and working together as a team. I think that's the thing that I explained this to Lucy the other day. I have this mentality now, whereas for us, when shit things happen, it's easy to get on top of each other, because again, when life is good, work's good, paying the bills, whatever it may be, it's easy to have a good relationship. But when things get difficult, when, I don't know, people hit debt, you lose loved ones, you have a bad day, something really pisses you off, it's easy then to cause friction between you and your partner because you let it seep into your relationship. One of the things that I always try and live by now is that it's me and Lucy against the world. And that's honestly how I view a lot of things when it comes to work, fitness, relationship. Whatever it is, me and Lucy against the world. And when I have that mentality, it changes a lot of things for me, because if we get into an argument, I know that the only thing that really matters is that me and Lucy come out of it in a good space, because it's me and Lucy against the world.
It's cute that. Came back from Nepal and he said that. Love that question.
All right, so next up.
It's like an agony now, agony ants.
You know what, speaking about Nepal, two places to visit on your bucket list, two places each. What's up there?
Ooh.
The Atlas Mountains.
Where are they, Liz?
Marrakesh.
Ooh.
Which I will be doing next year. So that is already, hopefully, on the bucket list.
Okay, one.
Tokyo.
Nice.
I don't know why, like Tokyo, Japan. Yeah, I just want to experience what that's like.
I'm going to struggle to name two.
Just name one.
That's probably even harder.
Do you want to go to the Himalayas?
Not really.
Do you not?
It doesn't bother me. I like being on normal height.
Nah.
I like being normal height and like being dry.
Do you know, it isn't for everyone, but it's stunning. It's breathtaking. Yeah.
So I can see Snowdon from a back window.
I know where somewhere is you want to go.
Where? Why are you telling me where I want to go?
No, you've told me this before and I think you forgot. Lord of the Rings vibes.
Yeah, I do like that, but I don't know if it's top two.
New Zealand, the Shire?
Yeah, it's definitely up there.
I'd like to visit the Shire.
It's definitely up there. Can Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory be one of them?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It's not even a place.
It is in my mind.
But it's not even, what country would you want to visit?
Where was Willy Wonka based?
Oompa Loompa Land.
Yeah. I'd love to visit a chocolate factory in that case then.
No, I think a country.
Okay, name a country that's got a chocolate factory and I'll go there. That's one.
Yeah, that is.
And then two, the new Goodison Park when it opens next year.
That is the most embarrassing.
No, it's not. It's the best place on earth. Yeah.
Cal, where would you like to visit? I'll pivot that question on you because Ben's answers were woeful.
No, mine were very thought-provoking.
For me, the Antarctic is one, because that's the only continent I need to check off the old checklist.
I love that.
And then other one, I don't know. Maybe like some parts of South America, like Peru or somewhere, would be really cool.
Lovely. Yeah.
That's a bit better than umple umple and
yeah, umple umple and
I get chocolate and football, so that's all I need in life. I'm easily satisfied.
You need to experience New Zealand, the Shire. You've always definitely wanted to visit.
Yeah, I would like to go there.
Yeah, so it's a bucket list country.
But I'd like to go and watch Everton, the new stadium.
You've already been.
I've not been to the new stadium.
Yeah, but you've been to wherever it is.
I've not.
Where is it?
Liverpool.
Listen, viewers.
That's just not
when people have got dreams, make sure that you don't piss on them. You don't realise the heartache, exactly.
Yeah, because me and Cal are like Peru.
Why are yours more valuable than mine? Just because you want to be all high up in the sky and be virtuous.
Somewhere you've never been.
I've never been to the new ground.
Okay,
I've never been to a chocolate factory.
Cal, next question, because I can't.
All right, so this is actually quite relevant. You are both high achievers. Does it ever make you insecure? How do you manage competition between yourselves?
As in between me and Ben? Or
between the two of you.
Okay.
How do we manage?
Is this something you feel in your relationship, competition?
Absolutely not now. I think at the start, we've had conversations about it.
I think I spoke to my therapist about this because I felt very bad at one point that I had a certain level of jealousy, and this came off the back of when we did...
It's like 3 years ago, I remember.
It was when we did the thing for SAS Who Dares Wins.
Yeah, it was 3 years ago.
And neither of us even got on it. No. But I always thought like that you were and are better than me. Just not like any specific metric, just in general.
Mm.
And I felt a level of jealousy. And because I felt that level of jealousy, I felt a level of guilt. And it was a guilt that really weighed me down. It wasn't a nice feeling to feel that until I spoke to my therapist, who made me aware of, do you know what, Ben? Jealousy isn't a negative emotion. We get told a lot in society that jealousy is bad. Jealousy is bad if you start to act on it. Jealousy is bad if you start to treat people in light of that jealousy. But just holding the feeling of jealousy isn't in itself a negative thing. And when she started to explain this to me more, I thought to myself, do you know what, why do I feel guilty?
Mm.
I shouldn't feel guilty about it. Like, we all speak about comparison. And I guess to a certain degree, jealousy is just that. Jealousy is comparison to other people. But like I said on previous podcasts, we can change the way that we compare to people by changing the metric stick in which we use to compare to others. Doesn't mean that we can never compare. It's just that you're better than me at some things and I'm better than you at some things. And what we choose to compare to may form jealousy more so. So I think it's definitely probably natural that you have those tendencies to compare yourself to your partner because you're living together all the time and you will have things that you're better at and things that your partner are better at. But I think it's about trying to focus on those strengths that you hold and work together on being the best team that you can be, like I said before, you guys against the world.
And also that last point you just made there, because I've not felt that before with Ben. And I remember it was like literally three years ago. We had a sit down conversation about it, and it was great. And I think the conversation was probably needed, but we have we want the same things. So what? There's nothing, like, I'd know what to compare to. We both want the same things. We are both high achievers. We've got different goals within our goals that are completely separated from each other. That I, like, Ben did the farmer's carry. He got a world record. I'm not jealous he has a world record. I'm in awe. I'm like amazed and I'm super proud. And then I've done different things. Like when I did the 100K, you were in awe. You were inspired. I wouldn't compare. We both have the same vision. We want to achieve the same things, like business-wise and things like that. And I just think we help each other on that journey. And I think that's probably the way I look at it.
It's like a trump card. You have a trump card.
Top trumps.
Top trumps.
I love top trumps.
You've got a top trump card. There's going to be some attributes that you are better than each other when you're comparing them. And that's why you shouldn't have a winner or a loser, because you're going to have different things that contribute to to relationship. Exactly the same in a workspace. You wouldn't be jealous of the CEO because he's doing this job better, or the marketing guy because he's better than marketing at you because you're the IT guy and you're better at IT. Mm. Do you know what I mean? There's different things that you're going to have strengths in. So I think try and think about those if you are maybe feeling jealous. But also if you are comparing or feeling jealous, probably speak about it. It was one of the best things that I ever did with a therapist. Just because even if you want to act on it, holding that feeling doesn't mean you're a bad person. You can't control your thoughts. This is something I've been thinking deeply about recently, is how deeply can we be held for our thoughts? Does that make sense?
Doesn't make sense to me.
How accountable do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, as in how guilty should you feel for thinking something?
Yeah. Because you can't control your thoughts. So
you've got, and also there's like millions of thousands of thoughts that happen a day. Very interesting. And
this comes up on something else that I was listening to, and it was about a guy who had thoughts about having sex with someone else, someone that he knew. And he said, I don't want to do it. I would never do it. But those thoughts are held in my head. And how much can I be held responsible for having those thoughts? I know if I told my partner, she wouldn't be happy with me having those thoughts, but it's not something that I would ever action, not something that I would ever do. These thoughts have just popped up into my head.
I think you have thoughts that stay in your head for a reason that you don't voice. Like, people think things.
I think he felt maybe even guilty for having the thoughts.
I mean, I could probably, yeah. I think if I think a thought in my head, oh, wonder what it's like to sleep with da-da-da-da, I'd feel well guilty for thinking that thought. That's not a nice thought. I'd try and completely get rid of that.
But you can't be held accountable and responsible for that when you've not, like, asked for it. This is where it's like, how imprisoned are you kept by your thoughts? Do you know what I mean? It really interests me and fascinates me recently thinking about it.
But if a thought continues to occupy your mind, I think you're consciously thinking about it. If he is constant, if that thought comes up numerous times about sleeping with another person, you are consciously aware of that thought, 100%.
But it's like anxiety. You don't want to hold the feeling of anxiety.
No,
if you don't want to hold that thought, I think it's just sometimes really difficult. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong with it, by the way.
I think with that sort of thing, if you go back to the same thought, like if a random thought pops in your head and then it goes and you think, oh God, that wasn't a nice thing, that wasn't a nice feeling. If one is continuously coming back and you're actively thinking about it, I think that's something you maybe need to assess. You need to think about, because you do have control over things that are repeating. If you're constantly thinking about something and the thought becomes like it's subconsciously there, it's not just a random passing of thought.
I don't think you have any control over your thoughts.
Kyle, do you get what I'm trying to say there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you've got any control over like things that pop into your head, but if you're sat there daydreaming and fantasizing about fucking someone who's not in your relationship, then that is you actively doing something, it's probably not great.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about someone sitting there and
just thinking about passing thoughts.
Yeah.
Passing thoughts, yeah.
Yeah, but it could be reoccurring. That's what I'm saying.
It's like a dream, right? If you dream and you accident, you know.
Yeah.
I've had regular thoughts that have reoccurred that I've not wanted to think about.
Yeah.
Especially around dying as well. It's not something that I wanted to think about, but the same thought sometimes comes into my head.
Oh, I have that all the time.
Like, and there's knives in there.
Yeah, the knives. Stupid knives, lock them up. I don't know why that's got a name. Your psychology teacher had it. What's it?
Death wish.
I had it when I'm doing the whole trek. Yeah, looking over the side of cliffs and shit. And it's not.
That's what he had. Right? He had the death wish, but it was like around train stations and stuff. So just like he consciously walked further towards the yellow line. His wife would have to pull him back from jumping.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't have that. But even when we ran across that bridge the other day, I was like, oh, the bridge.
What bridge?
We were on that run, didn't we? We ran up towards like Cheshire Oaks and came back. And when we were crossing the bridge on the way back, I was like, oh, got that weird feeling on a bridge.
Yeah. I think a lot of people get that though, to be fair.
Yeah, it's proper weird. Interesting. Next question, Cal. That was a thought provoker.
Let's go. So we've got some lighthearted ones, but go. All right, okay. So do you ever feel pressure to push through things like injuries or niggles because of the expectations you have from having such a large social media following?
This is something, honestly, I don't think I've spoken about this before. I, just due to this year, have probably had the most injuries I've ever had in my life. And they're not serious injuries, they're niggles. I was in the shower 3 weeks ago. I have had a shower since then as well, by the way. But I had a shower 3 weeks ago and I was honestly contemplating stopping running and going back to bodybuilding. It was the first time ever thinking about that. And that was because I was weighing up the pros and cons in which injuries and niggles make me feel. I know they make other people feel, because you feel you're missing out, especially again, because Lucy, for example, is running so much. Mm. It then heightens that feeling of knowing what you're missing out on, because you're watching someone gear up, putting the running shoes on, go for a run again. And it just really feels shitty, especially when you've got a goal that you want to try and run after. So for me, for example, I saw my chiropractor last week, chiropractor/physio, and I've had to categorically cancel the ultra marathon that I was doing in January, because there's no way I can do that and Hyrox. Part of the reason for that was the car crash. I didn't realise the under the hood, I suppose, issues that I created through my hips and through my Achilles and my ankles and stuff from the impact. The way that he explained it was, is imagine you trying to put like your PB, PR, world record leg press on and being asked to hold it in that position. That's what you're doing when you're in the car crash and like you're wondering why you've got tension through the hips and it's caused knock-on effect through running. The world record carry that I actually did had a lot of carryover in terms of niggles and injuries, because I'm going from a super fixed position into trying to do dynamic things like running. So I've had a lot of issues this year off the back of events or incidents that have really frustrated me. Did I feel the pressure from social media to continue doing that? Not really. Felt the pressure from myself and wanting to do well in other events that I'd entered, and also felt probably, that was probably heightened by the fact that I saw one, other people running on social media. So seeing other people doing the things that you can't do definitely opens up a kind of wound. And then even close to home, obviously watching Lucy going out and doing some runs kind of driven home that fact of, oh, here's something that you can't do again.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It is really hard. And I've only, the main one that I had this year was I had to pull out of London Marathon due to an ankle injury. Ankle injury. Never had an ankle injury in my life. And it just, I ran through. And then the guy we see, Lee, was like, you're going to have to stop or you're going to get a stress fracture. So I was like running to the point of, okay, well, that's not great. And I only pulled out of London 2 weeks before, because mine's not necessarily, I don't feel pressure from social media. It's more so I've signed up to do something and I get this thing where I don't want to let other people down. I feel if I were to cancel something and people have been like, I don't know, whether it's like donations to a page or they're really invested in the journey. And then if I was to pull out, that would make me feel so shit, because it's not, I don't feel pressure. It's just, I feel like I would let people down if I didn't do certain things. So that's my take on it.
I've said this before and I'd steal it from someone who Sebum thinks stole it from, but pressure is a privilege. I think that's sometimes the gratitude that you've got to look at, that if you're in a position of authority and a position where you have influence over other people, that pressure is a privilege. So sometimes, yeah, I suppose it can tie into the fact that you want to try and push yourself a little bit more, because you know that through that modality and that thing that you do, you inspire and help and motivate other people. So it can feel like sometimes, I suppose, that you're letting other people down, but it's not something consciously that I think I've probably ever thought about in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got two more questions. Okay, so we'll go with this one. Lucy, what is the best gift you have ever got from Ben?
Ooh.
And then obviously Ben will ask the same for you.
The best gift I've got from Ben was, it was one of my birthdays. Well, I think it was 2 years.
Bloody hope it's on your finger.
That's not a gift. That's a life commitment.
It's definitely a gift. It's a gift with the commitment.
Well, if you go down that route, you just talk about the whole wedding thing, but I was going off something like...
tangible.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I think it was 2 years ago, you had booked London for my birthday, but it was like a Harry Potter weekend. And it was everything we did was just based around Harry Potter. So like we went to a potions making class. The dinner was specifically Harry Potter. We went to Harry Potter Studios. Ben had booked it all. I've never been before. And it was honestly one of the best weekends of my life. It was so special. It was so thoughtful, the whole thing.
Is that the one where I created you a video first?
Yeah, did a video. I had little cards to open.
Oh, yeah.
That was just magic. Honestly, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was just...
You had five cards, didn't you?
Yeah, I had five different cards.
Birthday cards, and she'd open each one
over
the weekend of her birthday. And
Harry Potter hotel.
Each one was like a different thing that I booked, so we went to five different events, didn't we, basically?
And I think I love Harry Potter so much because it makes me so happy. Like, I love it. So doing... And he knew that.
So. Best gift I've received, I think, was when you booked the holiday to Rome.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Florida. Remember I surprised you with Florida?
Yeah, I think that was special. But I think because it's I've only ever received a gift once in my whole life and cried because of it. Mm. I think that was because I'd never received something, I think, that special in the way that it was presented as well. You got me a memory book with a load of things in.
I made a scrapbook.
Things that we were doing in Rome. There's little bits of Rome in there.
Our life up to that point.
What the next chapter was. It was just a super thoughtful gift. And I think one of my things is, and people always think this is selfish, but one of the things is my love language is gift receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So I think receiving a gift that is not, it doesn't mean gift receiving, oh, a new Louis Vuitton bag or a fucking new car. It's thoughtful things that have gone into the gift that shows that you really care about someone. I think that one for me just really hit the nerve.
That was your 28th birthday.
Yeah, I'm only 29, by the way. It's
32.
Let's see.
Are you 32?
Cut that bit, Cal.
Yeah. That was your 28th birthday. That was quite soon on.
Yeah.
Oh, that was one of the best trips ever as well.
Yeah, it was great.
We do that with each other. It's birthdays or Christmas, we try and do something together now, like an experience that we can remember. What is that face? That is, what are you doing?
That's nice.
I thought you were going to shit yourself. That was so weird. We try and do things together.
That's in the swallow the backwards arrow.
What is that face? But I'm trying to be sentimental. Sorry, we try and do things together and lasting experiences. Like, Cal, ask the last question because he's being Ben.
He is. Okay, so we've got one. We've got a business one and more of like a relationship one. What are you feeling?
I think that's it's more relationshipy, this part. It's a bit more like, we've got a bit more agony on.
Let me find that.
Going on.
Got some agony going on, yeah.
Well, that's very scouse way of saying it.
It's just that Ben has days, guys, and only Cal will know what I'm talking about. And Cal, is he having a day?
He's having a bit of a month, I think.
Oh, he's having a whole month of it that I've missed.
All right, so this is very related, I can't lie. They've all been very related questions. What is the funniest part of being married to Ben?
He's actually so funny. Like, people don't see the side of Ben. One of the best things he does is just, like...
I wonder this sometimes, you know, before you said it. Do you think people have the perception of me that I'm quite serious?
No.
No.
No, I think they do.
I think when I go to events...
Cal, we're not people, Cal.
Yeah, maybe. I've seen past the looking glass, you know.
Like, the way us three are going to be together in Lanzarote this week is going to be hilarious. Oh,
yeah. But, yeah, I think I show up, like, quite a big guy, beard, lifts weights, can sometimes be deemed as this bit of a masculine man. But then I go home, put my Disney Crocs on, and I watch Moana, and we sing it around the kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, I regularly come into work, or used to, and found... one of the largest men I've ever seen, hunched over a laptop watching the Disney Guide News.
DFB Guide News, yeah, folks.
Yeah, Disney. So I can't even find.
So when I was doing. The reason why I still watch it is because when I was doing a bodybuilding show, the only one that I ever did, it would be such a contrast. So you could see the dude who was next to me watching, like, I don't know, Frank Zane and Arnold talk about like the Generation Iron episode that everyone watches. And next it was like, so today on DFB Guy, we are here live in Magic Kingdom. We are tasting out the new fruit pops. Was that that theme tune?
No, this is just an example of like, look at him.
What's that?
Like, just listening to Disney and it's, he does like, if we had an argument, Ben would just go, phew. And the argument was, we're in hysterics and we're laughing and you make me laugh so much, but I don't think other people like see that. I think you're really hilarious. What was the question again? I went off a tangent.
What's the funniest part of being married to Ben?
That, just, I can't really describe it. It's just, you do these little things.
I was about to say the exact same thing. I can't describe what it is, but you're having conversations and... Oh, what is the term that I'm trying to describe?
Fantastic. Beautiful.
That is there. Wonderful. In there as well.
I don't know what we're word you're looking for, but I feel like it's not.
It's like you miss the point so much. It goes completely over your head. It's just, then the response is completely unrelated to the topic that you're speaking about.
Yeah.
And it's very funny. I'm trying to think of if there's a term which best wraps it up in a parcel for me to say what the definition of it would be.
Lack of common sense.
I would say that probably lends itself quite well, because people who are quite clever have bad common sense, and you're definitely up there. I think it's just your overall ditziness sometimes.
Yeah, the unaware ditziness.
Yeah, but it's very innocent and sometimes endearing.
Thank you. I am endearing.
Which is super, super funny. If you witness one of those Lucy Davis moments, it's
not
fucking,
my name.
Sorry.
Someone write it on his hand.
Change your passport. Change your Instagram name. Stop putting it everywhere in front of your face and then going, don't call me Lucy Davis.
I can't.
It's like saying, what colour is this card? And it says red on it, but it's blue. That's what you're doing.
I obviously cannot change my Instagram name, because that is a business and Lucy Davis Fit founded it, and she always will. But yeah, I do need to change some other documents. Yeah. It's not hard when you change your name.
Not.
It really
disrespectful.
Is.
Disrespectful.
It's really, I obviously introduced myself as Lucy Haldon. And that is who I am through and through. And our children will be Haldons.
Yeah.
Haldonies, that needs to leave.
That's never a thing. Don't ever, ever disrespect my name like that ever again.
It's like Haldini.
Yeah, it's not that either.
Are you a magician?
We just picked up on one of Lucy's big things, which is there's no term in the English dictionary or vocabulary that Lucy will not try and butcher with her own thing.
It's not even to make it shorter.
It makes it longer.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Less practical.
Right.
Cameras.
No. So, cinnamon, Chesnick, cheese, blobs.
What do you call cameras?
Cameroons.
Yeah. That's longer.
Yeah, but it's funner.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but Ben says this.
I can't deal with this.
Ben,
I'm going.
Ben
I've done this podcast.
This.
Bye. You
ben
can finish
says
it off.
This and he calls. I will finish it. Ben says things and he calls. He'll be like, oh, where are the blobs? When nobody's around. And he's actually walks out the room. And I'm like, they're the blobs. What else is there, Kyle?
Chesnick is a good
Chesnick is the cheese.
Cinnamon, I think.
Rasps.
Michaels.
Oh, the Michaels.
Where are the Michaels?
The Mikes. The Mikes. Laptoni. You know what? You could go on. But Ben has left the podcast. So I will round up today's episode. I hope you loved today's episode and agree with me more on the fun words that you can also comment below, because I'd love to know your fun words as well, because life is about enjoying it and making it more fun and enjoyable. And on that note, keep leaving reviews, keep subscribing on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Reviews obviously massively help us to get incredible guests on. And hopefully next year we will have a lot of guests from different places, and you'll know more about that very soon. And as always, have a great day or evening wherever you are, and we'll see you next week. Bye guys.